We come to you this morning with hearts that desire to know you, hearts that love you, hearts that want to be like you, and hearts that want to serve you. And we thank you, Lord, for our lives. We thank you that you loved us so much that you pursued us and you wouldn't let us go. And you wanted us to be like Jesus and to know Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the life that we enjoy, which is eternal life. We thank you for that life that we might have it forever, that it's sealed in us by the Holy Spirit, and that we have you and you have us, and we're in you and you're in us, and we're in the Father. We thank you for this day. And I ask you to bless Larry as he brings us a message of truth, that truth will truly make us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Russ.
Down the hall there, complaining we had it too loud.
So, I try a little bit. Is that a little better? That's about as high as I can go, I think. That's about as high as I can go. Is that a little better? Is that a little better?
Yeah. Is it better for me just to talk like this?
No.
Oh, we'll see.
Like the mic.
Like the mic, okay. Do you have a lesson? Okay. This is about strongholds. It's August the 28th, and we're going to play the music now.
in Jerusalem. That was recorded in David's home in Jerusalem.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I want to just tell everybody. This is Sister Vernicia. She's our family. And we've been very, very close to her for, gosh, since 1990 or 91. And I was looking for an intercessor. I needed somebody that would really get a hold of God and help me pray. I was very troubled about somebody in our family that needed a lot of prayer. And God spoke to my heart. There was a mailbox. In my mailbox, there was a flyer about an intercessory prayer meeting down in Atlanta. And I told Larry on a Friday afternoon, I said, I'm going down there. He said, you're not going alone. He said, I'd rather you didn't go. I'm battling a cold. I said, I'm going. God's put it on my heart. I've got to get down there. Well, that night we met Sister Vernicia. And we've been lifelong friends, family. We are family. Is it okay if I tell them you're 94? She's from Jamaica originally.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Barbara's here.
In the same place, and she's here, and she's been sick, and we've missed her, but she drives Sister Vernicia here. So praise God. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm trying to get this microphone just right because there was some class down the hallway that said they couldn't hear what they were doing. All they could hear was us last week. So I'm trying to be nice. This is about strongholds. Just had a little note this morning. You know, Satan knows he's defeated in the heavenlies. He knows that. He got defeated. And he knows that God has given us authority to overcome his activities here on earth. He knows that. So he will do whatever he can to prevent that truth from coming to us. This is not in the lesson. This is just on a yellow sheet of paper. Strongholds are a mighty weapon that Satan uses to keep us from the truth. Okay? And you don't hear it spoken about that much. I don't think there's a lot about that in the New Testament, but anyway, we're going to talk about it. Strongholds. Our minds are subject to being controlled by strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments, and arguments, if you look at the bottom of the page, are imaginations, okay? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice the knowledge of God is a word that means knowing God intimately and conversationally. So strongholds, so far we're reading, is a imagination that keeps us from knowing God. Bringing every thought, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Notice how a stronghold prevents us from, quote-unquote, knowing God. That means strongholds limit the degree of personal and conversational intimacy we have with God. Satan seeks to gain strongholds in our minds for the purpose of preventing us from knowing God at a deep level. What is a stronghold? A fortress of false knowledge that is believed on as truth. A stronghold is an activity of the mind that causes us not to be able to hear truth. Sometimes, but not always, Satan can get involved in strongholds in various degrees. A stronghold is a garrison. Scott, will you come up here? Barry, would you come up here? And I need Mark, would you come up here a minute? We're going to do a little enactment here. A stronghold is a garrison afforded defense of something that one owns. A defense of something that one owns, designed to keep out one's enemy. Just imagine a city that's protected by a wall, and in addition, a tower outside the wall occupied with men and weapons to keep the enemy out. That power is a stronghold. Strongholds often misinterpret what is said to us by another person. Our ears hear what they say, but before the words go into our minds, listen to this, a stronghold misinterprets them. And you really believe that person said something else. Often you just misunderstand their motive for saying it. God is our true stronghold in a positive sense. He keeps and protects us because we are his property. However, as we write here, we have a free choice to keep his protection and deliverance for us. Now, let me just give you a little example of a stronghold. Okay, I'm the one with the stronghold, and you and Mark, you get here. You protect me, okay? You guys are my strongholds, okay? You're the enemy that's keeping truth from coming to me. It could be through my... But we'll see how strongholds come. Now, Barry, you say something to me.
Larry, at the Stevens household, there's great anticipation when the Sabbath rolls around because Elaine and I get very excited knowing that we're going to be in the sanctuary praising God. We're going to hear the word from the pulpit. But we really, really look forward to that anointed teaching of yours, Larry, before we go into the sanctuary. You're such an excellent and good teacher, Larry.
Carol, I told you that nobody likes our class. I don't know why I'm doing this. Did you hear that? Go ahead.
You know, Larry, I've heard you affectionately referred to by your family members as chief, and that's because you're the patriarch of the family. You truly are the head of your family. There's a lot of loving kindness that flows from you, and it's reciprocated from your wife and your children and your grandchildren. You're an ideal father figure in your family, Larry.
You know, I don't need to hear this all the time. I know I'm a failure as a father. Why do I have to keep hearing? Why these people tell me this all the time? I know that already. Oh, man. Okay. Thanks, guys. That's a stronghold. I didn't hear him right. Are you with me? It's a very, very powerful thing. Extremely powerful, isn't it, Russ? You probably had in counseling came up against it all the time. Yes.
Is that also referenced as a Leviathan? It's a twisted spirit that twists things.
I don't know. Like it is in Job, you mean the Leviathan? I can't answer that question. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. What are some of the basic causes and stronghold signs? Fear, guilt, shame, and being easily offended are among major strongholds. Other types include. And what I'm about to say is certainly not a complete list. I'm just not an expert on this. I'm just, you know. Unforgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That unforgiveness will create some sort of a stronghold for sure. If you're a person with control, has a self-will, strong self-will, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I think it's self-explanatory. We're not supposed to be in control. We're not supposed to have a strong will except to know Jesus. We're supposed to be subject to him. And if we're not, that will cause a stronghold. Anger. Psalms 37:8. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm, and I say, in strongholds. One primary evidence of a stronghold is a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. It causes the person to act ungodly without being able to even choose the ungodly behavior. Did you get that? Yes, Barry. Here.
You mentioned that we do encounter these on a regular basis and frequently, and I can testify to that. Of late, Elaine and I were doing hospital visitation just a week ago last Wednesday, and we were over at St. Joseph's Hospital visiting an elderly lady who was very ill, and just before we left the house, the Spirit prompted me to run back in and pick up two reproductions of a vintage magazine from the 1940s. And so we went to the hospital, and this precious saint of God had, she had a stronghold of just giving up. No, Barry, I don't need that. You keep that magazine. I just don't have the strength to look at it. And it just speaks of this stronghold. And Elaine is painting a picture of her. Someday you and I will be dancing down the streets of gold. Well, and her response was, well, I hope so. You know, it was just like she was frozen. That's not the right word. But and as I reflected on that, I want to mention that the name of that magazine is Life Magazine.
Life.
And there we were, you know, metaphorically offering her life,
yes.
And it was being refused. You know, there was on the cover, there was a lady in some plaid or madras shorts, and the lady in the hospital, oh, I had a pair of shorts just like that at one time. But then that depression kicked in, and that stronghold kicked in. And she has gone home since to be with the Lord, I believe, but that was a stronghold.
Strongholds usually are knee-jerk reactions. You say something before you think about it, or you think something before you really give it thought. And the Bible says, be slow to speak. Count to 10 before you answer something. I want to define something right here. You have received the new birth from God, page 2. Your old nature died. You were raised into a new nature, that of a new creation. You do not have two natures battling inside of you, though at times it may feel like you do. The problem is in your mind. You have something like old tapes that replay the old nature. This has to do with memory and habits. It's called the RNA. I'm not going to go into that. It's something like the DNA. But the RNA can be changed by the thought life. However, I want you to be grounded in the fact that your old nature is dead, and only the nature of God resides in you now. While demons can influence your life, you should be grounded in the fact that God possesses you. The enemy traps you by looking for those works of your flesh, your old nature, that you will not forsake. He convinces you that you need to live, that you do not need to live on the Word of God, but that you can make it for yourself. He convinces you do not need to live in God's kingdom and His system of bearing fruit. He convinces you that it's okay to continue to live like the old nature did. He convinces you have not died and been born again. Perhaps he convinces you to prevent the grace of God and think that it is okay to live in sin because God's grace cannot be exhausted. After a period of time, he latches onto those works and you become deceived by a demon. You're not demon-possessed, but you're demon-influenced. These become strongholds and you feel hopeless. You are a Christian in God's promised land, but you are a prisoner like the people in Gideon's days recorded in Judges chapter 6. You have stopped the flow of God's presence into your being. You are no longer a candidate for waters of Holy Spirit to flow out of you to help others. Satan has done this, but you have given him permission. For instance, a stronghold of anger will block your spirit and the fruit of the Spirit from being come. When you become surprised by a frustrating situation, before you know it, you are in a rage of anger. The stronghold prevented the circumstance from reaching your spirit where it could come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Everyone with me so far?
Yes.
Don't justify your attitudes and actions. If you continually justify ungodly behavior or thoughts, you will invite those slimy demons to control your life. Instead, be honest, and instead of living in a dark prison, you will enjoy the sweet, satisfying aroma and presence of Jesus in your life. This reminds me of somebody that I knew. This, I'm going back 35 or 36 years. This man was a Christian, and he just couldn't seem to get things right in his life. And finally, after knowing him for 5 or 6 years, Lord, give me a picture, that he was in a prison, and the cell door was open. And there was people on the outside saying, come on out. He said, no, I can't. I can't come out.
Larry, do you consider that it's that we are comfortable in that?
By having strongholds?
No, we're comfortable in prison. Because if we have to get up and walk out the door, we've got to take an action.
Absolutely.
And we've
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But why would they be uncomfortable? Because people become, they don't want change, right?
You have to make a decision, and you're uncertain about your new decision. You're going to something unknown.
Yeah, the unknown, right. Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's where faith comes in.
Not so much being where you are.
Yes, ma'am.
Very powerful negative. It's a stronghold. To me, it's a very negative, strong spirit. And it will lead you, if you are, you know, have that negative thought, it will lead you into different directions that you do not need to go. The same spirit, because it's a stronghold and it masters your mind if you're not in Christ. And it will lead you into different areas. And you're just boxed in completely with negative thoughts.
I think, you know, I was 39 years old when I got saved. And I had several strongholds. I think people, like, were saved when they were 14 years old or something, you know, probably don't deal with them as much. But I had to overcome a lot of them. So I know what they feel like. I know what they feel like. And I think if you stay in touch with the Lord on a daily basis, start your morning with Him, and He'll convict you. That's His job. Holy Spirit's job is to convict you. Why did I say that to that person yesterday? Why did anger come out before I even had a chance? You know, Lord, I'm so sorry. And start repenting. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Imagine this scene with me, page 3. Suppose you're sitting in prison with some people named, with a bunch of people. One of them is named Selfishness. The other was named, these are human beings. These are beings, okay? Selfishness, lying, jealousy, manipulating, gossiping, lust, and complaining. All of them are your friends except for lust. You really wish you could get rid of him. But the other people are your friends. You look out the prison walls and you see a guard tower with a satanic being guarding your prison. Then you see Jesus walk up to the guard tower and shout over to you what is in Isaiah chapter 6, 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is what Jesus came to do, and this is what we do. We pray, this is Carol and I's prayer over this class, almost every day. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Jesus further says, just say the word, and I will free you from selfishness, lying, jealousy, manipulating, gossiping, lust, and complaining. I paid the price for your release, and this guard cannot keep me out. Your response pleases the satanic guard. Oh, you say, thanks, Jesus. Please take away lust, but those other guys are my friends. I play cards with them, joke around with them, and keep them. They keep me happy. They keep me occupied during my hours of contentment, confinement. I want to assure you that Jesus paid the price to protect us from all these works of Satan. Sometimes it's just things that we like. We don't want to give up. If you find yourself depressed and hopeless, if you have tried all the things that you are supposed to, just listen. A dead man needs life. He does not need a to-do list. Life comes first, then it's your responsibility to follow up with your obedience and cooperation. John chapter 5. Verse 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You will find a to-do list in this chapter, but first I want you to hear the voice of the Son of God. You know, that's how I got saved. I didn't get saved with any... By the way, Friday was my 37th anniversary of being saved. And tomorrow is my 76th anniversary of my birthday. But
tomorrow.
But I asked my son, who's 20 years younger than I am now, I want to know where you go when you die. What does that Bible say you read day and night? I want to know where you go when you die. That Methodist church says that. Those Jehovah's Witnesses say this. Knocked on my door yesterday. And just make a short... He went out and got a Hal Lindsey book on There's a New World Coming. We read it for 5 hours on the Sunday afternoon. And there was no logic to it, to me. All I could, you know, what happened to me was I heard the voice of God. I said, Patrick. He said, what, Dad? I said, Jesus is God. He wrote this Bible. He's the winner, and he's coming back. Well, that wasn't... Nobody explained that to me. It's just the voice of God told me that. Then I sat down. I said, Father, I've made a mess out of my life. Please take over. And I'd never been to Niagara Falls, but I felt Niagara Falls come into my heart right at that time. Shot through me. The voice of God.
That's when you died to self.
That's when I died.
That's when you died to self.
Died to self.
Died to soul.
Died to soul.
Gave up
my own soul. He was happy to say I couldn't make life work on my own. We need to say that all the time. He needs to know that. He needs to know that we feel that we can't make life work for ourselves. He needs to know, Lord, I got this stronghold. I do this. I get this way. I get that way. And I can't stop it. Thank you for telling me, son. Right? He can. He knew it before we were born, didn't he? Thank you, Faith. I'm on page 4. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, listen to that, and lowly in heart. Can you imagine God being gentle and lowly in heart? And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you feel defeated by circumstances, perhaps by a stronghold, hear this. Any affliction you may be experiencing must by law be changed into a blessing. No affliction is a match for the power of resurrection that resides in you. When that affliction touches you, it must die and be resurrected into a blessing if you cooperate and agree with God about your sin and our stronghold. Did you get that? That guy's saying the tomb is empty. Yeah, he says, he's gone. We've been resurrected. And then he came inside of us and resurrected us. Who are we? We're new creations in Christ Jesus. He lives in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And Jesus doesn't want to live with a brain that's got strongholds in it. If you believe Satan's lie, you will not be a threat to the kingdom. The kingdom of the world. However, if you believe and act upon the truth, you will take your afflictions, wreck Satan's kingdom, and help build the kingdom of God. Notice it says, the last verse of that 2 Corinthians scripture, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, but put in the strongholds. Then it says, after we get free, then we punish that disobedience that the demonic forces that were after us, right? Sounds like the Overcomers class to me. How strongholds get a foothold in your life? And I've got these notes amplified in the back of the lesson, but I don't think I want to go through them all. And this is not the only way. I don't have a complete, total, absolute teaching or understanding about strongholds. But number one, through your sin. Number two, through generational sin. The sin of your forefathers are passed down to you. You know, I can see some of the strongholds I used to have that my grandparents had, not my mom and dad. Just sin in the world, weights or oppression, through an idol in your life, or through a relationship, a soul-type relationship with another human being, you can pick up their strongholds. And rebellion against authority. Man, did God teach me a lesson about that. I was raised without authority by wonderful, loving parents, but they just, for some reason, didn't raise me with authority. But after I got saved, God made sure he put me to work with someone for 8 years to teach me all about authority. And if you want to know more about spiritual authority, Watchman Nee's book on it is one of the best you'll ever read. Dan, did you have a...
Just please expand on number B.
Number who?
Letter B.
Letter B?
Yes.
Sin in the world?
No, generational.
Oh, generational sin.
How are
Well, the curse comes down. You know, it's
that is the curse that was created in the garden?
Well, it starts in the garden, but then it gets more definite as it gets closer to you, you know. But, you know, your fifth grandfather up there might have had a curse of anger. And then his son probably had a bigger curse of anger. And by the time it came down to you, it might be huge.
Just as you have generic things that you get generationally, you have spiritual things that you get generationally. Just like, was it Abraham? Did he lie?
Yeah.
He lied. His sons lied.
So it's spiritual.
Yeah, you see that happening, and you kind of take it on for yourself. Like, you see how your parents do things and react to things, and you think that's the way you're supposed to do it. So you do it, and you find out it doesn't work. So.
And at first, it's really not a choice you have. It's just in you.
It's just a natural thing.
It's a natural thing that who you are.
That you acquire. That's why when we come to Jesus and get released from that, we have to learn to live in that freedom instead of living in the old flesh. We have to learn to live in that freedom, which is the Spirit. Yeah. And that's when our truth comes in and renews our mind. And then we have a different thought about things.
Amen.
Leonard, would alcohol and drugs still
alcohol and drugs definitely are a big part of it. Most definitely. Most definitely. Does somebody else?
I know when I look at generational sin, I know in our family we have alcohol that was huge in our family. The thing is, you went to church on Sunday, and you had to be in church on Sunday, but the night before, everybody was out getting drunk, and that was the way we did church. And I know as I grew up, for the earlier part in my early 20s, I thought that was kind of the way that things just happened, because that's the way we did it. Until eventually God got a hold of me and said, no, there's something bigger and better to this. But when you go back and you look at it, the generation can even be as simple as a false belief system in the way that we look upon ourselves, that we are poor, we are poverty, we are rich. All of that can become an amazing stronghold in your life, as well as a vow that we turn around and say, well, I refuse to be like my mom or my dad. If you go back and you really look at it, you've probably overdid that.
Ribonuclear acid, yeah, it's a scientific term.
It's
yeah.
Kind of like your makeup as far as
yeah.
your personality
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it can change,
yeah.
Where the DNA doesn't really change.
And our religious beliefs come from that, our personalities come from that, a lot of things. It's kind of like what is sewed into us as we're born.
I have an interesting.
So I can Google RNA and figure it out.
Yeah. Carol and I used to go to this place in right over the border of Alabama called CFAT, Servants in Faith and Technology, 160-acre farm that takes people from all over the world and trains them how to be missionaries, tells them how to drill wells and this and that. And it looks like third world. They made it over there. Anyway, Carol and I used to go over there every Tuesday and teach the Grow or Die book, and then teach some of them English as a second language. But we met this man from Haiti named Passius. And he was really into the book. He was really into discipleship. And we heard, we weren't there this time, but we heard that he had tuberculosis one time when he was there. And the demon, I'm under testimony here. This demon was emulating tuberculosis. Our friend did not have tuberculosis, but had all the external symptoms This man was wonderfully delivered, set free, and healed one night as he awoke from his sleep and saw the demon leaving his body. What he saw was an octopus on his chest, coming out one tentacle at a time. And when the last tentacle came out, he was healed. And it was from, he had been studying the Grow or Die book and studying about, he was in the Word, like he'd never been before. Not that our book was so special, but he was just in the Word. However, the same demon, which is perpetrated by a voodoo curse is a hatier, very strong, right, Dan? The same voodoo curse killed his sister with what looked like tuberculosis. His sister believed that she had tuberculosis, but this man who was delivered heard the truth from one of our books and was set free. After hearing all the doctor's reports, we were convinced it was a stronghold and a demon, not just a healing in the body. All of a sudden, he no longer believed that he had TB and he was healed.
His beliefs. Everything we do is based on beliefs.
That's right.
Beliefs. What do you believe? What do you have faith in?
That's right. It's radical, isn't it, Russ?
Yes. I mean, we get so accustomed to thinking a certain way, believing a certain way, we think that's right. But it could be totally wrong according to God.
That's right. What is your solution for your strongholds? First, bottom of page 4, you must hate your stronghold. God will only deliver you from your enemies, not from your friends. When you become disgusted with your sin and stronghold, then God can work. Our weapons include, in Ephesians, we have 3 weapons that we talk about here. Okay. Just to go over the, let me go over the 3 weapons and we'll come back and read them. The 3 weapons are the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Number 2, down the middle of the page, you're to bring every thought in captivity. And number 3, we're talking about the truth. Okay, so number 1, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, these are demons, rulers of darkness in the state. We wrestle against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly sphere. Places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand. Stand means you already have victory, and don't let it be taken away from you. King of the mountain. You ever play King of the Mountain? You're king. You're on the top of the mountain. People try and push you off. You don't have to try to win. We've already won. Satan's trying to push you off the mountain. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the truth. Everybody say truth. Putting on the blessed place of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking up the shield of faith, what Russ was talking about, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There you go. You've got to speak the word. That's the only thing that can really put Satan to an arrest, is speaking that word of truth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Number 2, you're to take every thought into captivity, like Russ was talking about. That's what our scripture is about. You take every thought. It's like going to the airport, and you put your baggage on this little thing, and it goes through the, whatchamacallit, and they check it out for you, you know. Wait a minute, you can't take that bottle of water with you, because water, you can't take water through, okay? Take that. Every thought that comes through you, stop it and say, what's this? Is this thought godly? Is this? Take every thought. Stop it right there. Say, no, this thought is not proper. This thought is not what I'm supposed to be thinking. Get out of here. You don't go through the machine. Who? Vernicia.
The scripture is so powerful about putting on the whole armor,
yes.
But it's more than just speaking it. We have, Jesus said, put it upon the breastplate of your heart so you can have that to bounce back when the enemy attacks you. You know he's coming, but then you can start speaking immediately.
Amen.
And it should be studied and rehearsed every day in our meditation.
Amen.
Thank you, Bernice. Yes.
The one thing that I always see with the armor is we need to identify in our armor where do we have holes. And we need to identify with that. Is the fact is that we're not walking on the truth of what the Lord says? Is it the fact that, because I hear people sometimes say, well, I don't understand, how do you put this on? The truth is already upon us when you're saved, because Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But what you have to do is realize that by putting it on, you're going to walk in it. You're going to act upon it. And you're not going to allow the world to continue to take your peace away. The
you're
Lord,
going to agree with the truth.
You're going to agree with the truth.
And you're going to repent. You're going to change the way you think.
Yep. You're going to actually, whenever you go through the process of doing this, the reason it's so important that we put it on every day is because it does. It helps us to renew our mind that this is what the truth is.
Amen.
And you must repent and walk away from it. Otherwise, you're sitting somewhere and it's holding you down as a weight, and all you've got to do is remove the weight so you can walk.
That's right.
Laurie, may I say something?
Yes.
One of the things that Matthew helped me with when in our marriage is, you know, I always felt that I was a bad wife or a bad mother or bad something. Matthew would come home from work and he'd say, oh, look, there's stuff on the floor. And I would, you know, internalize that. I'd be like, oh, obviously I can't clean the house. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad mom. So what I started to do is he would come home and he would say, oh, look, there's stuff on the floor. And I said, what I just heard you say is that I'm a bad wife. And he could verbalize and go, no, there's stuff on the floor.
That's a perfect example.
And so that it helped me to give it a voice of to say, this is what I'm hearing. Yeah, and for me to be able to speak it back to say, what I just heard you say is that I'm a bad wife. And he'll go, no, what I said is the kids are a mess today. Or, you know, he just verbalized whatever his observation was. And that helped me.
And then he expanded it into the truth.
The truth that you believed was, if you didn't keep the house clean, you were not good.
Right.
Somebody told you that.
Somewhere,
you
yeah. But I didn't know that's what I believed.
You had to learn that.
I think what we're, the bottom line out of what we're talking about today is about lies, and the devil is a liar. He's the accuser of the brothers, and I say the sisters. He comes to accuse us. And he works in our mind, and he tries to tell us that we're this and we're that and we're the other. And Jesus comes to tell us the truth. Jesus' name is truth. John 10:10 says that Jesus has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. But the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thief comes on lies. And we can believe lies or we can believe the truth. And how do we go about that? And it's like everybody's talking here this morning. We have to make a decision to believe what the Word of God says, not even the circumstances.
Amen.
You get a report from the doctor,
Amen.
You've got to say, I'm going to believe the Word of God, and I'm going to overcome this. I know that the doctor's trying to help me. I know I have to deal with this in the natural, but I'm believing for healing. And I'm believing that Jesus is my healer. And that Jesus is healing me. And you just have to keep speaking that. You can't sit off on the corner and say, you know, my husband doesn't love me. I'm headed for a divorce. My children don't love me. I'm sick. I'm that. I'm the other. The devil likes to put people down. He likes to have them thinking they're crumbs, that they're nobody. He likes to come and lie. And somehow we've got to get enough of the Word in our life. How do we get enough of the Word in our life? We spend time in God's Word. We spend time in worship. We spend time with God's people. We spend time absorbing what the truth is, not what the lies of the culture in this world is. This culture is crazy, and the devil is so in control of it. We have to make those choices. We have to choose the blessings of God and not the curses, because the enemy comes to curse us. So rather than rehearsing the curse, we need to rehearse what Jesus is saying to us. I love you. I bought you with a price. You're mine. I've got a good plan for you. I don't have a bad plan. I've got a good plan for you to bless you and to help you and to heal you. And we have to believe that. And it was just, it's like in a marriage. If a wife starts feeling like she's no good, if a husband comes to her and speaks kind words and thinks about all the things that she does do right and starts telling her, you know, you can cook well. You know, you're such a kind person. You did this and you did that and you did the other. It'll start causing that wife to thinking, well, maybe I am a good person. And we need that from God's word because God tells us that. He tells us that. He tells us who we are. We're a new creation in Him. He tells us, if you take the time to read His email to us, read His letter to us, He'll tell us how much He loves us and how much He cares. And He'll tell us in a loving way not to be lying, not to be gossiping. He'll convict us. And we need Him. We need Him to tell us those things.
Especially when you're feeling down about yourself. When you're feeling down about yourself, there could very well, I mean, just be a temporary thing, but it could be a stronghold.
Dad, can I say something?
Yes.
Do you remember that they were talking about there were two different types of strongholds? There was a stronghold that was based on the Lord. It was based on His truth. And then there was a stronghold that was based on Satan, that was based on his lies. And I'm just expanding on what you're saying. And that Beth Moore was saying that when we are basing our life on Satan's strongholds, that they get stuck in our soul and they pull us down. But that we need to get into the Word, into worship, and get the Lord's strongholds into our life and get those strongholds into our life, get realigned. It's like when you're a pilot, you have to keep refocusing your life, because I guess 99% of it is refocusing and having to realign your life back into what is true and what is whole.
Amen. Larry, what about when you're attacked by Satan in your sleep, Larry, with all the dreams, with bad dreams and nightmares? What do you do about that?
What do you do about bad dreams and nightmares? Get up. Start worshiping. Tell the Lord what you heard. Tell Him it's not true. Come against it in the name of Jesus. Pick up the Psalms. Pick up. Right.
I know most of you know that since February, we've all been going through a lot with hospitals. But it's been interesting because even this last time when my father-in-law entered the hospital, we had a choice. We could either look upon, as some people were talking, that we had fell into like a curse, which we do not receive, or we can look upon the healing that he did. When my father-in-law went into the hospital this time and we thought we were going to lose him Friday night, he miraculously was healed. But when he was miraculously healed that night, he didn't know anybody in the room. All of a sudden, a brother that he's not spoken to since his mother passed away because they were mad at each other,
wow,
walked into the room, and the brothers were all standing there, and they were talking because we couldn't wake him up. And all of a sudden, they kind of shook him and woke him up, and he looks up, and he identified immediately with this particular brother, knew exactly what his name was, lifted his hand to shake his brother's hand, and from that moment on, he knew exactly who we were. So it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Please don't ever take that what God is doing. Maybe it might hurt a little bit. But do understand, God's there and He's working and He's trying to make something happen that needs to happen. Because from that moment forward, His brothers and sisters were there to support us and they were walking with us, and this family was healing. Brothers that hadn't been in hospitals for a while because they can't stand to be around the sick were staying day after day with him to help us so we could work.
We're going to close it down here for, but main thing here I got left, you can read it at home, or is we need truth, his truth, and our truth. We need to be very honest with him. Must continue in the word. And I think one of the best examples we have was with Matt saying that there's something on the floor and her taking that as being that's a real typical stronghold. Very typical. Yes, Dan? Oh, yes, for sure.
And so each one has to be dealt with separately.
Yes, yes. Let's close it down. Matt, close it. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Father God, we just come before you now knowing, God, that we are a product of our genetics and our environment in a lot of ways, and we have all these small t truths running around in our lives, and the truth that, you know, I have a strong temper or you know, whatnot, wherever that comes from, God. But as we've learned this morning, that you want to come into our lives in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the truth with a capital T, and you want to free us from all those things that we believe, all those strongholds, all those. God, help us to go forth this week and just to invite the truth into our lives, that truth that gives us freedom from the strongholds, freedom from the things that would weigh us down, freedom. It's a little bit scary to walk into that freedom, though, God, because you want us to live in a way that we've never lived before, and it's a little bit uncomfortable to make that kind of a change, God, but we know that Jesus will walk with us, Jesus who is the truth. Thank you so much for this group, God. Thank you so much for what we're taught. Thank you for this wonderful food that we receive on a weekly basis. Thank you, God, for Larry and Carol and just the wonderful teaching. Thank you, God, for their leadership. Thank you, God, for the truth and the freedom that you offer us. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, guys. We enjoyed it.